For several years, a woman had been having trouble getting to sleep at night because she feared burglars. One night, her husband heard a noise in the house, so he went downstairs to investigate. When he got there, sure enough, there was a burglar. "Good evening," the man said to the burglar. "I'm pleased to see you. Come upstairs and meet my wife. She's been waiting 10 years to meet you." When we spend precious time worrying and being overly anxious about the future, we end up robbing ourselves of the blessings God has in store for us.
"Now that you're one of mine, there is no need for you to worry, because I will always take care of you." Who says amen to that today?
Welcome to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp. Here, we hope you'll find answers to some of life's everyday struggles. You can learn more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org. Many of us worry a great deal about the future. And this week, Charles Tapp helps you discover a different approach and where to put your attention as he continues with the fifth part in this series on the standards of Jesus, reflections from the Sermon on the Mount, as he shares his message, daily devotion.
As you know, over the past several weeks, we have been sharing a series based on the Sermon on the Mount, where we've been reflecting on the standards that Jesus has set for those of us who have made the decision to be a citizen of the kingdom of God. And as we've discovered, Jesus' teaching in this well-known discourse is what I would call a counterculture gospel. Not only did it challenge the secular culture of Jesus' day, but it also challenged the religious culture of his day as well. And it did so by doing away with many of the prevailing ideas that they had, that in their minds they believed that they would be in good standing with God. For no longer was being blessed attributed to one's wealth or material possessions. No longer was that considered to be a sign of God's blessing or God's favor in one's life. But now Jesus says in the Beatitudes, being blessed means that you recognize your utter spiritual impoverished condition and your complete need to depend totally and completely on God. Under Jesus' new gospel here in the Sermon on the Mount, no longer was one's righteousness confined to strict adherence to the law, or strict obedience to God's command, or even abstinence from certain evil or sinful behavior. But now Jesus says righteousness is determined by what is at the root of someone's heart. So you may not have, in Jesus' day, murdered someone or taken a life, but Jesus says many of you are still guilty of murder because you have the root of murder, which is anger, already deeply embedded in your heart. You see, Jesus was giving a new gospel. His gospel turned the traditional ideas on their heads. But as challenging as this gospel of Jesus is, the most dramatic teaching in all the Sermon on the Mount we have yet to cover. For there is one aspect of Jesus' sermon here which is referred to by the 19th century author Oswald Chambers as the most revolutionary words that human ears have ever heard. These are the words found in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. "But seek you first what? The kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added on to you." I know what some of you are thinking. You're wondering, why are these words so challenging? What's so challenging about these words in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33? But seek you first the kingdom of God. Why does Chambers refer to these words as the most revolutionary words that human ears have ever heard? In order to understand why he said that, we would have to look at these words in the context in which they were spoken. So I invite you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 6 as we look at verses 25 to verse 32. Jesus says, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not what? Life more than food, and the body more than clothing. Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns. Yet Jesus says, your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" Verse 27. "Which of you by worrying," anybody worry out there? "Which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, will he not much more clothe you, O you of what? Little faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek." Gentiles meaning those who do not know the true God. "For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these," what? "Things." Let's first place it in its proper context. For it's pretty obvious here that Jesus' focus is on our human tendency to worry. And he even presents some of the things that many of us worry about from day to day. Some of the basic needs that we have, like having enough food and having enough clothing. These fall into the category of our physical basic needs. I'm sure many of you may be familiar with Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Familiar with that? It's a theory that was proposed by psychologist Abraham Maslow, which is often portrayed in the shape of a pyramid, with the largest, most fundamental need at the bottom, the need for our physical being. The basic four here, physiological, safety, love, belonging, and esteem. He says, once these are achieved, we can then reach the top stage, which is self-actualization, meaning that you and I will now be in a better position to reach our full potential. But this is what I found to be very interesting. He goes on to say that if one of these four basic needs are not met, that you and I begin to experience anxiety or worry. He didn't create that. Jesus said that himself. Jesus says, listen, why are you worried about food? Do the birds have barns to store food in? Yet I take care of them. Just last evening, right before the sunset, we saw four deer walk in our yard. They're always in our neighborhood. It looked like the mother, father, and the two kids. But as they were walking across the yard, I saw them chomping on something. And then I thought, these guys are the ones who have eaten just about every plant and flower in our yard. I've gone to Home Depot, Lowe's, I've gotten Deer Be Gone. Truly, there's a thing called Deer Be Gone, Rabbit Be Gone. I've sprayed an entire bottle of this stuff every single day and you're only supposed to spray it once a week. But it didn't work. And here the guys, I assume, are the ones who are responsible for eating my lilies especially, which I was not pleased with that. But then it hit me, and I thought about it, and my anger kind of subsided. Didn't God say he would provide for them? Jesus says, why are you worried about clothes? Look at the lilies of the field. Look how I clothed them. Solomon, even in all of his glory, was never arrayed by like this. Jesus is teaching us here that even though as humans we have the tendency to worry because we're now citizens of the kingdom of God, we now have no need to worry. Who says amen to that? Jesus, in this portion of his sermon, is letting us know two things about the nature of God. He says, not only is God transcendent, meaning that God is above and beyond everything in this vast universe, but he's also revealing this aspect of God's nature, and that God is imminent, meaning that God is close to us, and that God demonstrates his closeness to us by his willingness and his ability to care for us. Even the birds of the air. This idea of God providing for his children is an idea that is replete all through Scripture, from the Old Testament all the way through to the New Testament. One of my favorite stories of this is in Exodus chapter 16. Are you familiar with Exodus chapter 16? It is the story of the manna. Of all of these religious movies I've seen Hollywood come out with, I've never seen them focus on this particular story, the story of the manna. For those of you who are not familiar with it, let me give you the Reader's Digest condensed version. God has just delivered his people from 400 years of slavery in Egypt. He's taken them through the wilderness to the land of promise in Canaan. And to provide for their needs, he allows manna, the bread of heaven, to fall for them to eat. They could cook it, they could bake it, they could eat it raw. They had many ways in which to prepare it. 6 days they had to go out and pick it up. But on the seventh day, God says, don't go out, because there's not going to be anything there, because the seventh day is what, everybody? It is a Sabbath unto the Lord. And don't you know, some went out on the seventh day anyway, looking for manna, and there was none. He told them the only day they could carry it over without it spoiling would be the sixth day for the seventh day. But some of them tried to carry it over, have leftovers for the next day. And I don't know what it is about leftovers. Leftovers just taste better sometimes. Amen? But not in this case, because if it was left over any other day other than the sixth day, it spoiled. What I also find interesting about this story is that even though the manna represented God's provision for his people, please don't miss this, in the desert, they wanted to go back to Egypt, which represented sin. Many of us are more content, find more pleasure with the blessings of sin than we do with the blessings of God. But Jesus says here in this sermon that God is an imminent God, that God is close to you, and that God shows just how much he cares by his willingness and his ability to take care of you. He says, listen, if I can create human life, don't you think I can provide clothing for the body? He's using the argument of the greater and the lesser. If I can do the greater thing, which is creating life, why would you worry about where you're going to have clothes and how you're going to be able to be clothed? But God here is showing his people that we, although being human, have the tendency to worry. As children of the kingdom of God, we have no need to worry.
You're listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, Daily Devotion. And if you're enjoying this message or you'd like to find others like it, you can find out more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org. We'll conclude with the rest of his message right after this.
Jesus came here for you.
No matter what your skin color is.
Jesus came here for you if you're Republican, Democrat, neutral, don't know or don't care, or any political party.
Jesus came for the far left and the far right, or if you're somewhere in between.
Jesus came for the person who cut you off in traffic.
Jesus came for the homeless, the poor, the middle class, and the rich.
Jesus came for love.
Love.
Jesus came for you and for all his children.
We're here to remind you of that.
WGTS 91.9.
Always encouraging.
And 88.3 on the Eastern Shore.
This is Simple Truths for Life. And when we spend precious time worrying, we end up robbing ourselves of God's blessings. This week, Charles Tapp helps you discover a different approach as he continues his message, Daily Devotion.
Let me see the hands of all of those here and those worshiping online and listening to radio, but if you're driving, don't take your hands off the wheel. Let me see the hands of all of you who worry. If you have not raised your hand, the truth is not in you. Not calling you a lie, I'm just saying the truth is not in you. All of us worry. The Bible says that you and I are but dust, and God understands that. And he says to us in this sermon, even though you've got the potential to worry, because you've got a sinful nature, now that you're one of mine, on my part, as far as I'm concerned, there is no need for you to worry because I will always take care of you. Who says amen to that today? But here's the key to why we worry. Look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 14, 19 to verse 24. Do not lay up for yourselves what? Treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and what work? Thieves break in and do what? Steal. But lay up for yourselves what? Treasures in heaven. If you can underline that word treasure or highlight it, if you've got a digital Bible, do that for that word treasure. Where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not do what? Break in and steal. Verse 21. For where your what? There's that word again. Treasure is, there your heart will be also. Verse 22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, Jesus says, then how great is that darkness? Now look at verse 24, because now he's coming to the end. He's coming to the culmination of his argument. He says, no one can do what? Serve two masters. For either he will do what? Hate the one and love the other, or else he will be what? Loyal to the one and despise the other. He says, you cannot serve God and what? And mammon. That word mammon means material things or possessions. He says the issue with you worrying and having anxiety is that you are not devoted simply to God, but you're also trying to be devoted to the things of this world at the same time, and you cannot be devoted to both. Look at this word anxiety in the Greek. Anxiety means dividing and what? Fracturing a person into what? Into parts. Meaning you're being pulled here, pulled there. Jesus says, when you and I experience anxiety, the word he uses here means that we're being literally pulled apart. When we're trying to be devoted to the world, and we're trying to be devoted to God at the same time. The issue here is devotion. Jesus says that God will provide our needs on a daily basis. But the question he has for you and for me is, are we going to provide our daily devotion to him? We worry when we have no need to worry, for God has made it clear he is our provision. He is our Jehovah Jireh. The only reason you and I worry is because we have poor memories. Look at this quotation by Ellen White from the book Life Sketches, page 196. She says, "We have nothing to fear." That word fear means we have nothing to be anxious about. We have nothing to fear for what? The future, except, please don't miss this. In other words, she's saying there is a reason for us to fear for the future. And what is that reason? We shall forget the way the Lord has led us and his what? Teaching in our past history. So when I begin to become anxious, it is because I have forgotten what God has done for me. Now it makes sense what the Apostle Paul meant in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. When you go home, read it. He says, "Don't be anxious about anything." Amen? "But through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God." Why did Paul put that word thanksgiving there? Because when you and I pray, part of our prayer should be thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for what? For God's past as well as his future provision in our lives. Who says amen to that today? And that's why we worry. And you know I'm telling you the truth. How many times have you stood up in a gathering and testified to the goodness of God and all he's done for your life? And God came through, Pastor, at 11:59:59. But then next week comes and something else happens. And instead of you going, "Well, I remember what God did for me last week. I know what he can do for me now." You go, "Oh my God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? How am I going to pay that bill?" Are you guilty of that? We're all guilty of that. Why? Because we forget. It's not that God is not willing, able, and available to provide daily. It's that we have not devoted ourselves to him. Our devotion is to the things of this world, the treasures. And that word treasure is not just talking about possessions. It's talking about material things that we think once we get them, we will find contentment and joy. And Jesus says, you will never find contentment and joy in the things of this world. For the things of this world are temporary. It is only in the things of God that are eternal that you and I will find true joy. Because no matter what you and I have, either rust is going to take it out because it's gotten old, or moth is going to get at it because we really didn't use it. And how many of us buy something and then we put it on the shelf, we don't even use it? Or the last category, you save all your money up to buy it and then somebody steals it. So if rust doesn't get it, and if moth doesn't get it, Jesus says somebody will probably take it. So why are you putting all of your devotion in trying to acquire those things, thinking they're going to bring you joy? Listen, the only thing that will bring us joy is our devotion to God. So when Jesus says, "But seek first the kingdom," that means every decision you and I make, listen, has to pass through the filter of the kingdom of God. Which means, and this is hard for many of us, if I'm really a citizen of the kingdom of God, I need to live a very simple life.
Man, it just got very quiet. Here's the thing. God is not against money. Amen? God is not against material possession. Anybody who will tell you that are those who are broke. But here's what God is against. God is against our unhealthy pursuit and devotion toward those things. God says your pursuit should be after things that are eternal, after the things of the kingdom. Because if you spend all of your time, energy, money on those things, they're not going to last. Rust is going to get them. Moth is going to take them. Or somebody may even come and take it from you. So put your trust and faith in what is eternal. And if you do that, you won't think that you're the one who's really providing, but you'll come to a better understanding that it's God who's the one who is our provider. Amen? So don't worry. Don't be anxious. Because my God, your God, will provide for you. And I'm going to close with this. Here's a question that many people ask. Well, if Pastor, if God's going to provide, why are there so many hungry people in the world? Why are there so many people that don't have clothes, don't have food? Here's why. Jesus says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his what? Righteousness. You know what righteousness is? It is God's will. It is justice. It's the same word. In other words, don't just seek what's best for you. Seek what's best for others. And that's why there's so many hungry people in our world today, because too many of us are only concerned with us. You've got five homes and there's a person on the street. Jesus says God has provided enough, but some of you are not seeking the kingdom. You're seeking this stuff for yourselves. So I challenge us today. Yes, this is a gospel that is counter to our culture, because this culture says bigger is best. More is great. Jesus says, the greatest thing is the pursuit of the kingdom.
You've been listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, Daily Devotion. And if you want to listen again or share it with someone, you can find these messages on platforms like Apple Podcasts and now also on Spotify. Or visit us online at simpletruthsforlife.org. Now here's what we're working on for next week.
The rule here is to do unto others as you would have them to do unto you. Don't even wait around to get anything in return.
Next week, Charles Tapp concludes this series on the standards of Jesus, reflections from the Sermon on the Mount, with his message, Bumper Sticker Theology. Well, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll plan to join us again next week for more Simple Truths for Life.
Jesus came here for you.
No matter what your skin color is.
Jesus came here for you if you're Republican, Democrat, neutral, don't know or don't care, or any political party.
Jesus came for the far left and the far right, or if you're somewhere in between.
Jesus came for the person who cut you off in traffic.
Jesus came for the homeless, the poor, the middle class, and the rich.
Jesus came for love.
Love.
Jesus came for you and for all his children.
We're here to remind you of that.
WGTS 91.9.
Always encouraging.
And 88.3 on the Eastern Shore.